Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of the number 3 in Scripture. This is part of our series on Bible numerics. You can send questions, comments, or prayer requests by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order contributions addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at BBFOhio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site at BBFOhio.com. You can also listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at BBFOhioRadio.com. Now we begin our study of the number 3 in Scripture as part of our series on Bible numerics. This is part 1 of 2.
All right. Current events update real quick tonight. I just want to remind you of liberal policies. Here's an example of what happens. You know how they want socialism and it keeps failing, and they keep saying that we just haven't tried enough. We need money for public schools and they fail. We just need more money for public schools and more money. And it's all because we don't have enough money that the public schools are failing. And that's the way liberalism works. It never works. But they keep sucking everything out of our economy and out of the budgets so they can pay for their failed programs. And this is on MSNBC, where you've seen, I don't know if you've seen what's going on in Venezuela. And Guaido? I want to call him Guido, but I think it's Guaido. They say he's the democratically elected leader, and so he's calling for the military to join the overthrow or riddance of Maduro. And they admit that the reason why they're having such trouble is because the people in Venezuela have no guns. And so therefore they have no power. Now they're lecturing you in America to get rid of your guns. Well, if you do, you will be Venezuela. And then the liberals will turn around and say, oh, well, I guess you were right. Too bad it's too late. Yeah. So here's, dear America, accommodate liberalism at your own peril. The more we allow liberalism to take over, the worse this country's going to be. Period. Here's the Christian counsel, the biblical counsel is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that's a great passage to memorize, but that means that whenever you want to know something about history, politics, science, anything. A lot of Christians are suffering because they followed humanistic psychology and they followed Freudian antichrist models for handling mental health and that sort of thing. And, you know, I get it from both sides. I don't go along with the standard mainstream medicine, whether it's psychology or your medical doctor. I think there you got to be really careful. I'm not going to put it out here in public display, but even just amongst us, I wouldn't name names, but I can tell you just in the last few years of people I know who went and had certain things done medically that weren't necessary, and it about killed them. Or they went on medications, and it about killed them. And do a little research. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but we've talked about it here before. The number of people who die because of mistakes made by hospitals, mistakes made in hospitals. But at the same time, anybody who just tells you that, you know, all you have to do is, you know, pop a certain natural supplement, or you know, burn incense in your, you know, or something like that. You know, that's just as goofy. Now, there are things that help, see? That's why I get it from both sides, because I eat local honey, and it's helped with my allergies. I get a headache sometimes. I'll take peppermint oil and put it right here on the, my temples right there, and I don't know, it absorbs or something, and I just feel like, whew. Yeah, and my headache goes away. Now, that's not a migraine, and I knew Jim's like, don't tell me that's going to heal my migraine, and I never have told him that because I don't have migraines, and I don't know. And he's tried it, and he's tried 101 things or 1,001 things. But that's the thing is, that, you know, we have to be careful. A lot of this natural cure stuff comes from New Age hippie types, and you got to be real careful with that. And you know, Mark did the left-hand cigarette thing. Well, you know, there's nothing inherently evil about marijuana, but smoking it is, I do not believe smoking marijuana is or should be an option. You can take pills with the good things in it, with the, was it THD they call it? Taken out, THC, wrong, I had the wrong letter on the alphabet there. THC out of it so that it doesn't get you high and all that. And you can, cannabis oil, I guess it is, hemp, you can use, and you can use it for rope. I mean, so what's wrong with that? Nothing. But when you're going to smoke it and just get high, you know, that's, so I get it from both sides and I don't care. I always say this, the devil is in the extremes, you know, and so anytime someone's taking you to something that is really extreme, you ought to just really be very careful. Be real careful about that. All right, let's get into the number three in Scripture as our Bible study. The number three in Scripture. All right. First, we got to check. Now, is everybody here? Can you count to three? One. Say it with me. One, two, three. Okay, so we got all but one smart aleck who can count to three. Now go to Genesis 4, chapter 4. Genesis 4, verses 25 and 26. All right, let's read verses 25 and 26. Read with me. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, right off the bat, we see this battle to get the human race off to a running start. First thing that happened was they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered into the world. And then not too long after that, Abel, who's mentioned here, is murdered. So it's a rough start. And we see that God's basic number of order is the number three. And that's why Satan is fighting from the very beginning to stop the seed of the woman from producing the Messiah. And he is fighting the procreation and propagation of the human race. And God, in Genesis 4:25, starts everything with three. If there had just been a man and a wife, well, that would have been the end of it. So they have to procreate. And so it had to start with the basic family unit of three. You can think of it this way. Man, woman, child is the basic family unit. There's some ladies who can't have children. And we're not trying to say that they're unimportant or less of a family with their husband. But for the sake of the propagation of the human race, the basic family unit ideally involves children, man, woman, and child. Then verse 26, you have the three men. It was going to be Adam, Abel, and another. And Abel is killed by Cain. So Abel's taken out of the picture. Cain is disqualified. And so then you have Seth and his son Enos. That's where it all begins, with those three men. Adam, Seth, and Enos. And there's a very clear demarcation here after these three men with the end of verse 26. It says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." And I simply believe that means that at that point, the human race is now on its way and relationships with the Lord become very personal. And it becomes a very personal thing between that person and God, and builds through time. So human history begins with three men. And you're going to see three throughout Scripture, and you're going to see three in other areas as we continue studying the next few minutes. And when God started over after the flood, He begins with three again. And we see it, turn over to Genesis 6. Genesis 6, 8 through 10. 8, 9 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." Read verse 10. "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." So there you have the three sons of Noah. And everyone who's alive today descends from one of these three men. Everybody goes back to Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Ham would be the African races. Shem would be the Oriental and Semitic races. And Japheth would be basically the Caucasian races. And there's a big thing these days where people say, well, we only believe in one human race, and we don't believe in races and all that. And that sounds fine, and I'm not going to try to fight it, but they're trying to fight racism through semantics. And the problem isn't races. The problem is sin. If everybody became a born-again Christian, virtually all racism would disappear. Now, there's always going to be one or two jerks. I mean, you know, and the exceptions are there, and they prove the rule. But for the most part, you know, when we have a black person come in here who's a Christian, I can only speak for myself, but I don't think of, oh, they're black. I think, oh, there's sister so-and-so. There's brother so-and-so. Someone's come in, you know, who's Hispanic, and we had some Africans here for a while. And, you know, I didn't think of African. As a matter of fact, if the blacks in America would stop calling themselves African American, the word Africa would never even enter my mind. But especially among Christians. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's like Jim was you saying earlier, you know, that that's supposed to be the dream. That you would no longer be judged by the color of your sin, but by the content of your character. But not today. Today it's all about what they call that identity politics. Yep. And you make an issue of your identity now. It's not just that you just want to get along with everybody. Let's treat everybody the same. You know, everyone's the same under the law. And, you know, if I need a... I like how Tim Hawkins says, if my toilet's doing this, and some dude is a Buddhist can make it do this, I'm hiring the Buddha or the Buddhist. So someone comes in my house to fix my toilet when it's doing that, I'm not looking at his melatonin. Is that the right word? And if he can make it do that, he's hired. Black, yellow, red. Now if he's green, I'm like, yeah. So we looked at in our previous studies, one is unity. Two is division, and three is a division in unity or a unity in division. And I know that sounds deep. And if I had an Indian accent like Ravi Zacharias, you'd all be going, ooh, deep. But I got this southern drawl, and I'm like,
Well, three is a division in unity, or unity in division. It just don't sound the same, does it? So, let's just look at it this way. How did you get here? Is there anybody here who's a test tube baby? Anybody? Didn't think so. It took conception to get you here. There had to be sperm from the man, just in case you didn't know that. Egg comes from the woman. And you. That's how it happened. Before anybody knew there was a baby in there, there had to be this combination. The one and the one came together, and they're still the one and the one, but when they come together, all of a sudden you began to exist. And so we look at the Godhead in Scripture, and we see that the Godhead itself is divided as three persons, but is unified as God. And this verse right here, 1 John 5:7, if you don't have that in your Bible, you need to burn it. The new versions are taking that verse out of the Bible. It's not in your NIV, not in your Southern Baptist Christian Standard Bible, not in your New American Standard or your ESV. It's gone. Cut it out of there, just like the penknife, Jehudi's penknife. But the real Bible says, for there are how many?
Three.
That bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these
three
are one. So there's your unity that came from the division of the Godhead, and yet they're one. So this tri-unity, when you think of the word Trinity, that's what it really means. Tri-unity is expressed with that word, Trinity. And anyone rejecting that fact is either a cultic heretic or a spiritual infant, a novice. That's just a fact. The Mormons will talk about a Trinity, but it's Jesus is not deity fully. He's becoming a God, and the Holy Spirit is kind of like a force. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, the same way, they teach that the Father is God, Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel, and the Holy Spirit, again, is like a force or energy. So there's cults. Yes?
Melanin.
What's melatonin? Is the thing you take when you want to sleep. Melanin. Melanin is what determines the color of your skin. Okay. So, if you're not an occult, but you still deny the Trinity. Well, by the way, one other cult is the International Pentecostal Churches, IPC, United Pentecostal Churches. They also call Apostolic Churches. And they teach that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and He just kind of poofs. Over here is the Father, now poof is the... He's not all three at all times. He is one, but He appears as those three in different times. It's called modalism. And it's heresy. It's not Bible. Yeah, Doug?
When I mentioned Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission.
Be baptized.
The guy said, you're talking... This guy was one of the Pentecostals.
Yeah.
I was praying two titles. Yeah, do you have any Jesus' name only? It's because you're praying a title.
Yeah. That's how they teach it. But anybody can read the Bible and see
exactly.
That they're not just titles.
Exactly.
And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He did not say we are the same. And He spoke of the Father in heaven while He was on earth. He spoke of the Father spoke when Jesus was being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And I always tell these guys, "Well, then you must believe Jesus is a ventriloquist, because if He is the Father, then He's throwing His voice and saying, 'This is my Son in whom I am well pleased.'" And that's not what happened. It was actually the Father in heaven speaking. And Jesus is in the water with the Spirit descending as a dove. And the same thing happened to the Transfiguration.
Why would He leave to me so the Comforter could come?
Yeah, why would He have to leave?
Yeah.
The place over in Genesis 2 that talks about, let's like make man singular in our world.
Now, beyond these obvious things that we're talking about, obvious to us, not obvious to a lot of other people, but along these lines is that by understanding God and His nature, triunity, then we shouldn't be surprised when we look at everything else having that same quality. So we see God as Father, Son, and Spirit. So there's three, one God. And look at this in the Old Testament. I just want to show you this because I talked to somebody recently and they didn't know this was in the Scripture. Some of you may have seen it before. But this is Jesus speaking in the Old Testament prophetically. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. This is Isaiah 48:16. He says, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there I am I. That's Jesus. Now, listen to what he says. And now, the Lord God, one, and his Spirit, two, hath sent me, three. There's your Trinity in the Old Testament. They're not the same. He didn't say, now the Lord God and his Spirit am I. See? If modalism were true, that's the kind of thing you'd see. It's not what you see, and modalism is heresy. And here is another thing that in our songs we sing this, and it's in more than one place in Scripture, but here in Isaiah 6:3 says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it didn't dawn on me till sometime after I saved that the reason why you always see that in threes is because you're speaking of a three-person Godhead. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy Spirit. And so God is in three. And look at the way we refer to the Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, you keep... Just keep looking. It's three everywhere. Death, burial, and resurrection. This is an amazing study. I think we went through this several years ago when we were going through Mark. But think of these threes and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And this is all through the Scripture. We don't have time to cover all of them. But this is one of the most amazing to me. Before he was crucified, Jesus prayed. How many times did he go pray in Gethsemane? Three times. All right? He was crucified. How many crosses were there? Three crosses. What hour was he crucified? The third hour. There were 3 hours of darkness. He died at what we would call 3 p.m. He was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. He resurrected the third day. And I'm not saying I've exhausted it. I ran out of bullets. But keep looking. Keep digging. You'll find it. It's just amazing. All these threes in Scripture. And the Scripture itself. Just talk about the Bible itself. There's a threefold witness and application of this book. Now, this might throw you for a loop if you haven't heard this before. But it's just a fact. There's a threefold witness of the Word of God. First is what we call the Old Testament. Paul refers to that as the Old Testament. I had somebody say, you know, the Bible never calls the Hebrew Testament the Old Testament. So I showed them 2 Corinthians 3:14. They went, oh. It does refer to the Hebrew Testament as the Old Testament. And just a few verses before that, in 2 Corinthians 3:6, he refers to the New Testament. But it's a threefold witness because Jesus is the living Word. And Jesus would say things like, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words, the Word incarnate is Jesus. And so you have two in print. And then you have the third witness in Jesus himself, the person. And of course, 1 John. Go read 1 John. Read the Gospel of John. I mean, and this is how John closes his gospel. Chapter 21, verse 25 says, and there also many other things, I left out the word are, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, I just, every time I read that, I get kind of just giddy about that. I'm thinking, I think we're going to learn all this stuff when we get in heaven. I think, I love learning. But even if you don't love learning, you know, some people are just like, I know what I need to know and I'm going, you know. But I think in our glorified state, we're going to love learning even more. And especially since Jesus is going to be doing a lot of the teaching, I hope we get to be taught by, you know, Moses, Aaron, you know. And I'm just curious if Joshua was a very good teacher, but what he's going to be like, Caleb, you know, and all them. The apostles, including Paul. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I just get thinking about going to a Bible Institute in heaven where, you know, this session's being taught by the apostle Paul. And instead of, you know, we're not going to be like, oh, I hope it doesn't go 3 hours like that one time when the guy fell out of the window and died. Yeah. We're going to be like, I hope he goes 3 hours again. Because we're not going to even care about time, you know. Oh, I love thinking about that. I just love thinking about the sessions or whatever it's going to be where we're informed of all this other stuff that God didn't put in the Bible. And you say, well, why didn't he put it in the Bible? It's because we can't handle what we got. And so he knew what we could handle, what we should be able to handle. Amen. That's just something to think about. But then there's the threefold biblical application. If you take the Bible, you should read it in this historic, prophetic context. And reason, sometimes they'll just call it the historic, but prophecy is just history written before it happens. And so a lot of times people don't realize when you're reading Bible prophecy, you're reading history. You're just reading it before it happens. And then sometimes you're reading prophecy that was already fulfilled, so it is history and prophecy. But the second is doctrinal. Now, that's something you have to be very careful with, that historical context, because doctrinally, it was a fundamental of the faith that Noah had to build an ark. It's not a fundamental of the faith now. And now that's an obvious one, but there's all kinds of things. There's a fundamental of the faith that every Passover, Nisan 14, you're supposed to take an unblemished lamb and slice his throat and put blood, you know, on the doorpost and that kind of thing. Not now. Jesus is our Passover. And so that's where you get into this third area, spiritual. So I'm reading in Exodus and I'm seeing this Passover thing. And if I haven't read through the whole Bible yet, then I have to understand I haven't read the whole Bible yet. So be very careful. But once you go through the Bible one time and then the second time, third time, you'll have more and more of that light. And you'll see that spiritual application better and better every time through. And there's some things that I now see that when I first started hearing it, I'd hear it from other preachers or seeing it, I didn't like it. We were talking about Sunday, about Paul. And I'm becoming more and more convinced as I read through the Bible that Paul wanted to die. At the end, Paul was done. And he even had... Was the fellow's name Agabus, you know, who came to him and said, and took his coat or cloak and tied himself up and said, this is what they're going to do to you in Jerusalem if you go there, and warned him. And he says, oh, they can do that. They can kill me as far as I'm concerned. It's like he would not even listen to warnings. And the Bible never says that those warnings were wrong.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.